and welcome back to Air Magique. I'm your host, Eric, and I'm the one who recently watched the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film and loved it. And with me is my amazing co-host, Niels.
Hello, everyone. I'm Niels, and I'm that guy that was lucky enough to be able to snag some last-minute reservations for the second Disneyland Pass pop-up surprises before it ended. So that was really cool. Well, and in today's show, we're talking all about the newly redesigned Disneyland Hotel, of course.
Yes.
We had a detailed episode covering all the room categories and more, so be sure to check that out if you haven't yet. But today we'll be focusing on, well, let's say all the unexpected surprises and things we didn't know about the hotel before.
Awesome. But before we get to all that, Niels, what is something that's caught your eye in the world of European theme parks last month?
Yeah, I wanted to share the latest Disneyland Paris Disneyland Pass news. So the next Pass special event is on Friday, March 22nd, and the theme is Treasure Night.
Awesome.
So this is what Disney already shared about this, next event. Which land will you choose? Experience a unique evening supporting your favorite land. Will you join the inhabitants of Thunder Mesa or mingle with the pirates of Adventure Isle? Do you prefer fairy tales or legendary visionary stories? Make your choice and join the community of your favorite land.
So, oh, that sounds like fun.
Really fun that they now, well, choose to focus on the lands and probably have a lot of inhabitants walking around.
I always love what they do for Main Street USA around Halloween time with the ghostly Victorian inhabitants. I think that's really cool. And I'm guessing for Adventureland there will be pirates maybe somewhere. And,
I guess so.
But I wonder what they'll do for Fantasyland and Discoveryland. That will be really interesting to see.
Visionaries, we see Jules Verne.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, or some steampunk citizens would be really fun in the Jules Verne style.
Maybe.
Yeah, so.
Or Star Wars, but
Not
really visionary.
No. Those stormtroopers might be out and about Mandalorian.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That could be the case. Well, other things they shared are stories and characters of the lands come to life. Discover Disneyland Park like you've never seen it before. Meet land's residents and musicians along the paths, and of course the many Disney characters, especially here for the night. Access the secret areas of the lands. Each land includes an area accessible only by giving the correct password to the inhabitants who guard the entrance. Go looking for it to access meet and play areas and festive atmosphere. So yeah, I think that's pretty cool with the password element, but I'm really wondering where you will get it or how you will get it, or that it's something.
Maybe you have to solve like a simple puzzle or you get like a card from one of the cast members.
Something like that, yeah. Or it's maybe just written somewhere and you have to look for it. Not sure, but it's interesting to see that they add another, interactive
element. Almost like escape room vibes, right? But like in reverse because you're trying to get in.
a little bit. Yeah, and as well because of the inhabitants. Interesting. They also encourage guests to wear a costume. It's even strongly recommended. Everyone who buys tickets gets access from 6:30 p.m. while the actual event starts, I believe, 9:15. So
So you got some extra time in there to do some rides and prepare for the puzzles coming your way. Have you ever gone to Disneyland Paris in a costume, Niels?
No. I'm not into the costumes. How about you, Eric?
No, I don't think I have. But now that I realize that I haven't, I really want to.
Really? Maybe I would think of some cosplay one day, but that's the no, I don't think it really fits me.
I don't want to do cosplay, but IP that's not Disney, because just to add some contrast, or just like an original character that just looks really interesting. Maybe someday. It's usually like when you're running around the park all day too, you don't really feel like at 8 a.m. putting on a really elaborate costume. I mean, at least I don't. I have full respect for the people that do, of course, but. Yeah.
Same, but and I always enjoy looking at all those people. But you have to be into this, right?
Totally. Yeah. I think the craziest thing, or crazy, you know, quotation marks, I ever did was for Pride when I went with Florian. We had colorful bow ties and some colorful Mickey ears, but I don't really think that counts as a full costume.
No, well, Mickey ears, well, I usually don't wear them, but I could do that. And the last thing Disney shared is that there will be 4 exclusive shows during the evening to celebrate the Disneyland Park, from Main Street USA to Central Plaza, with dozens of Disney characters. So
cool,
interesting. But tickets go on sale on February 14, and they're €59 each, just for pass holders.
The €59, I'm guessing that's the final price, so no AP discount probably.
So what got your eyes, Eric?
Actually, I'm just reading this press release that you shared in the notes, and it says, enjoy the park in ideal conditions, which is a phrase that makes it sound like if you just go on a regular day, it's not going to be ideal conditions.
No. They already said that there will be limited tickets, so there will be less people in the parks than...
I guess what they really mean is that, it's not going to be crowded, and there are going to be a lot of extras, so
And really low ride times, as usually you can just hop on any ride in like 5 to 10 minutes.
Everything's just a walk-on. That's really fun. Cool.
So I guess that's the ideal condition in it.
My news item pertains to this month's main topic, and that is that non-residents can now visit the Disneyland Hotel.
Finally.
After several days of a lot of confusion on whether or not non-residents could enter the newly refreshed Disneyland Hotel, Disneyland Paris has confirmed that everyone can enter during certain times of the day. So I've seen a lot of mixed messages on what times of day exactly you can enter. Mm-hmm. Some people say it's from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. Some say it's until 4 p.m. Maybe it's on a day-by-day basis, depending on what they're feeling. So, but if you want to play it on the safe side, definitely go during like the odd hours, like during the middle of the day. Green barriers have been installed near the hotel's entrance to facilitate crowd control measures. Okay, can we talk about these green barriers for a second? They are corny, tired, and played out. Okay, can we come up with something else? Maybe some cool Victorian-themed barriers? Because I'm sure, since it's Fantasia Gardens and they often use them for like crowd control, especially during special events, that it's worth investing in something with a nice design here, because they'll be using them again in the future. So maybe we could get something with like the gazebo design scheme with little elements. Something that's a little bit better.
The metallic versions of the barriers are looking much better than these ugly plastic ones.
Also, every time like a light wind comes along, they fall over. So it's just something to consider, maybe.
I'm not sure if they have these barriers there every day, as I saw some pictures with and without, but it probably has to do with the extra magic time as well, depending on the hour people are waiting for extra magic time or already queuing for the hotel as well. So not sure what the exact procedure is here.
I feel like it's just like a spur of the moment kind of deal. While non-residents are permitted to access and explore or shop or enjoy the hotel's bar facilities, access to the restaurants and exclusive entertainment such as the Royal Encounter remains exclusively reserved for the hotel residents. To ensure adherence to the temporary capacity limit, non-resident visitors will be provided with a visitor card upon entry. This measure is aimed at tracking the number of individuals within the premises, with visitors required to return the card upon departure of the facility, and, you know, which allows additional guests to get back in. Reports first appeared online on February 5th that the Disneyland Hotel was open to all visitors. However, non-residents trying to access the Disneyland Hotel were mostly turned away, which resulted in a lot of confusion. With the latest policy now in place, non-residents definitely have a good chance of gaining access. So that's nice. I'd also love to explore the hotel without necessarily having to book one of the exceptionally expensive rooms there.
But that would be nice to just walk around in the lobby, to visit the shop, maybe have an expensive cocktail in the bar.
What are they, like 30 euro or something for one of those cocktails?
Yeah, 28 euros for the signature ones, indeed. But they also have like iced coffees for, I think, 15 euros.
I mean, it's still ridiculous, but not as bad. Yeah,
yeah, it is. If you want to save some money,
just bring your own water and sit down. When the server comes, just be like, no, I don't need anything.
Yeah, but don't tell cast members that Hermagique told you that.
I got my Carrefour water here. So in this month's Patreon exclusive show, we're chatting all about the best and the worst restrooms at Disneyland Paris. We're basically talking about all of them. That's right. Niels and I are taking a deep dive, quite literally, into the varied and colorful world of Disney toilets. Get access to this exclusive episode, as well as all of our other fabulous Patreon exclusive shows, over on patreon.com/Hermagique. We're also happy to announce that we're working the new features. So we're doing the Hermagique Live, which you can get access to with the new Bay Club tier and up, and you can listen to us record the show right in the moment. There's no earlier access than that, so stick around to the end of the show for a preview of this month's Patreon exclusive episode. So the Disneyland Hotel is back open on a random basis, as we just mentioned. Classic Disneyland Paris with a kind of murky communications that were going on there at the beginning. And those staying at the refreshed hotel can look forward to seeing and experiencing various unique offerings. Niels and I have already recorded a pre-opening show where we talked about all of the rooms, restaurants, and other offerings. However, there are several details that were only revealed after the hotel opened to the public. So here they are, our favorite Disneyland hotel surprises. Niels, would you do us the honor of sharing your first surprise?
Yeah, and the first item I chose, that's the interactive library for, let's say, kids. However, a lot of adults will also enjoy it.
Cool.
Besides the already iconic library itself, it looks really nice, and it's inspired by the libraries of world famous French castles. I love to see some film snippets from guests on social media trying out the kids activity section in the library. Their tablets and, well, new Disneyland Hotel covers looking really nice. And they're available to scan the books in the library with, let's say, the camera on the tablet. So some books will highlight on screen and then activate a piece of the app with the possibility to get, well, the story of the book that you're scanning presented on the tablet, or to play a game related to the specific book. So it's basically some kind of nice looking QR code that activates a specific feature in the app. But it's a really neat and fun feature, mixing on-screen entertainment with some, well, physical environments, some actual moving. So yeah, that's really fun. By the way, there are lots of fake book sections. So it's just a piece of decoration, this whole library. But there are also some physical Disney kids book in the specific kids section as well. So that's a nice touch that they integrated them into the library. So really fun element of the new Disneyland Hotel, I think.
Yeah, that's interesting. This almost feels like a baby step into what Universal Studios has been doing for years now with the interactive wands that you can purchase in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. So indeed. For those of you who don't know, you buy this wand for, I think it was like $50 back in the day. I don't know how much it is now. And basically you can walk around the land and wave it, and certain elements would begin to interact with you, like some flower pots would start to fly, etc.
Yeah.
So this kind of reminds me of that, except for with a QR code, it's a little bit simpler. Mm-hmm. So I guess you have to use their tablet, right? You can't use your own phone. It's like an in-house thing.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
At least I only saw little film snippets with the Disneyland hotel tablets, but I'm not sure. Maybe there will be an app one day that you can download on your phone and also do this.
Yeah, they probably want to work out the kinks first.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely easier to create an app for one specific device than make it work for a bunch of different devices. Yeah. So that probably saves a lot of time.
So what's your first detail?
Yeah, so one thing that really surprised me were the hidden fiber optic portraits in the deluxe rooms. So if you haven't seen that yet, basically when you turn on the ambient lighting, the portraits come to life. Well, I mean, at least somewhat. You're not going to get the full-on Harry Potter-style moving portraits, no, which would have been super cool. But what does happen is a subtle fiber optic gliding inside the portrait comes to life. So in one frame, Cinderella dances with her prince, and the lighting adds animated sparkles to the dress, which looks really cool. Mm-hmm. While in another depicting the three fairies, their wands shoot animated sparkles. So it's a really unexpected detail that adds a subtle bit of dynamic energy to the space. Yeah. So I really appreciated that.
It's really cool to have something like that indeed in your room. It's in lobbies or in attractions.
Exactly.
Not in your bedroom. Yeah. And that's a nice touch, I think. I agree.
Yeah.
All right.
So what's next, Niels?
Yeah. Well, there's a new interior fragrance created for this hotel, just like Disneyland Paris hotels have their own fragrance, like Newport Bay Club and Hotel New York, the Art of Marvel. And also the previous, let's say, version of the Disneyland Hotel. And I believe you have that one, right, Eric?
I do. I have the Hotel New York fragrance, which is the new one, though.
The New York one.
Hotel New York one, which is awesome. So I haven't been able to pick up any of the others yet, but I really love that. I can just smell that bottle or spray it around our home, and it smells like the Hotel New York for a bit, which is really fun.
Yeah, that's really nice.
So I really appreciate that they're doing that.
Yeah, me too. And it's available for purchase in the hotel boutique, of course, which used to be only accessible for guests, but right now some more people are able to get their hands on a bottle. So besides the bottles, they also have scented candles, and I believe the candles are like 40 euros, the bottles around 60. So it's not cheap, but it's very cool to bring some magical memories really into your own home. So I saw a lot of positive reactions on this new fragrance through social media from the first guest staying at the hotel. I cannot wait to smell it myself. Although I also heard that people cannot remember that they smelled it actually in the hotel. So I'm not sure.
Okay.
If it's just really subtle, or it wasn't there at the first day, maybe it's there now.
Maybe they're still working on getting the diffuser system to work, because they have a day version and a night version, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, that's really nice.
I love the finesse of that. I think that's so cool. Fragrance. Memory is definitely directly connected to fragrance. There are so many studies out there on that topic. So it's really great that they developed a nice scent, and I can't wait to check it out myself too. So it's 120 euro if you want to get both of those bottles, the day and the night version.
That's a lot.
That's quite a bit.
We're already spending more than 1,000 euros in a room, then...
What's another 120? treat yourself.
All right, So what's next, Eric?
Yeah, so let's head on over to La Table de Lumière. While we did see the statue of Beauty and the Beast in the previously released concept art, it does come as a surprise to me that the statue rotates slowly. So it's almost like they're dancing as depicted in the animated film. The restaurant just looks gorgeous and is serving Versailles golden realness. I just wish the price point wasn't so high. Again, we're at the 120 euro per person number here. So that's an ongoing theme of the Disneyland Hotel, though. They really raised those prices up quite a bit. But
if you want to experience everything in the most optimal way, and then it's a lot of money.
It is. I mean, a lot of it turned out really nice. So what I thought was also interesting, and I just noticed this this morning, actually, was that the main dining room of La Table de Lumière, which has all those wonderful Versailles-style window elements surrounding it, they're all faux windows. It's all just mirrored glass. So you actually don't look at the outside world at all. It's just reflecting what's in the room, but it makes it feel a lot bigger. So I just thought that was a really interesting design choice. So I saw that when you're there for breakfast, they tend not to fill that space, which makes sense. So around breakfast time, they seat you in that long corridor where you have a view of the castle and the entrance in Main Street USA, so you get a lot of daylight there. So I think they really try to only use that in the evenings when, you know, it's dark outside, you don't really see a lot anyway, so then it doesn't matter. Really fun statue. I really like it.
Me too.
So what's next, Niels?
So Yeah, we already heard about the special royal entertainment coming to the lobby.
Oh, yeah.
In the hotel from the announcement. But now we've seen the videos and the photos as well. I tried not to watch too much, to be honest, to keep a little surprise element as well. Well, I'm not sure if I will be able to visit myself, but well, it's nice to have some surprises. But as soon as the hotel guests enter the red carpet experience, there is a welcome from a royal greeter.
Nice.
And greeters invite guests to become part of the royal story of the hotel. So that's already a nice touch to let guests become part of a story and really make them aware of the hotel theme. And then we also have the so-called La Troupe Royale, which is a duo of comedians, and they appear, let's say, unexpectedly to tell royal stories with props and involve the audience in their whole play. And they are usually accompanied by a princess such as Cinderella, Belle, Rapunzel, or Jasmine so far. They also do little sing-alongs, I've heard. So yeah, this is really, well, a unique piece of free-roaming, interactive, personalized entertainment only available at this hotel. And also probably one of the main reasons to keep non-hotel guests out of the lobby when evening falls. So that's probably related to those fixed times for non-residents to visit the hotel. I hope Disneyland Paris is able to keep these kind of experiences alive for, let's say, a longer time. However, I would love to see possibilities to visit the hotel without staying there as well, also in the evenings.
Yeah.
But I understand if they cannot do that because of this entertainment.
I think we're just gonna have to be really patient with them.
I think so.
I can imagine that maybe in a year or so that they'll be easing up on this, and then maybe you'll be able to dine at the restaurants if you're not staying at the hotel. By the way, it's really interesting because as long as you were staying at any Disney on property hotel, you were able to book the Royal Banquet Buffet restaurant, which now they've pulled back on that access. So now only if you're staying at the Disneyland Hotel can you dine at the Royal Banquet. So they really had to make sure that crowd control, that everything's flowing smoothly. So it's almost like a new land opened, right? Like it's a whole new large space. There's no attraction, quote unquote, but there's a shop and there's themed ambience. So people, of course, want to check it out.
And especially since there are princesses roaming around, it's like the new princess pavilion.
Yeah, exactly.
The new auberge. And you cannot have people walking in there and running towards the princesses to get a picture. It needs to be that relaxed royal experience for guests that pay a lot of money to stay there. So
Totally. I did see a short video clip of La Troupe Royale, and they were speaking in both English and French, which I really appreciated.
Yeah, that's right.
So there's definitely, you can understand what's going on, no matter what language you speak. So as long as you speak English or French. But no, but I really appreciated the dual language approach. So other than that, the show, like I said, I didn't watch the whole thing because, like Niels, I also want to experience it live myself someday. But from what I did see, it seemed very simple. They're doing some dancing. They're doing some singing. So it's nothing. It's not like a Broadway production or anything.
No.
It's just to add some ambiance and really adds a lot of life to the space. It reminds me a little bit of the Guardians of the Galaxy dance-off, like that kind of vibe, but less
and
pop music.
It's mainly, let's say, scripted, probably.
Yeah.
But there is some room for them to have personalized reactions.
Exactly.
And that's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. So
what's next?
Yeah. So another fun little surprise was over in the Royal Banquet Buffet restaurant. That was wonderfully, I love that wonderfully camp tiara shaped sofa in there, by the way. It's so cool. It's a really nice design element. It's so over the top and so Disney. We've been hearing complaints from fans that a lot of the refreshed contemporary design Disney's doing looks really bland and uninspired. So these custom over the top themed pieces really give me hope that there's still a lot of talented designers in the company Disney that know what the fans want and know what sets Disney Design Space apart from, let's say, any generic contemporary hotel you can find around the globe. So we're kind of looking at you, Fleur-de-Lis Bar. So yeah, which has been getting a lot of critiques online that it does look a little bit...
like an airport lounge, I read.
yeah, or like any Hilton lounge anywhere around the globe. So, yeah.
It definitely looks nice. There's nice finishing and...
Totally.
It's not especially Disney. So that's what people are missing, yeah.
Yeah. It's just that I think folks love to go to Disney because of the theming, right? And well, partly because of that. And so when that's not delivered on a... high level that we're used to seeing in the park. So what we had there before, the Cafe Fantasia, I believe is what it was called. Yeah. It was theme, girl. Like there were big ass musical notes. All about the Fantasia, the musical score. So it was really in your
face. Pictures on the walls related to music.
Interesting objects. Yeah. So there was a lot going on. Yes, it was dated, so it definitely needed a facelift, but they really reduced it maybe just a little bit too much there. But at other parts of the hotel, we do get really fun theming. So there's that.
True. So what I realized now is that the Disneyland Hotel's superior rooms, and it's, let's say, the standard rooms in this hotel, they have quite a lot of different themes, more than any other hotel at Disneyland Paris for sure. The basic design is the same, but the rooms are featuring exclusive artworks from one of 11 Disney films, so you could end up in a room with art from The Little Mermaid, Snow White, Cinderella, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Sleeping Beauty, and more recent films like Princess and the Frog, Tangled, Frozen, Moana, and even, in my opinion, less known, Raya and the Dragon. So,
yeah,
I don't think cast members will allow you to choose, so it will be a surprise what you get every time when you sleep at the hotel, I guess, but I can also imagine that some people might be disappointed. If you don't know Raya, I don't feel connected to Raya, and you end up in the Raya room.
Right.
While you're a Snow White fan. So maybe you can request at the front desk, but I think they cannot always
guarantee you that room. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But when I was thinking about this 11 different rooms, that's quite a lot. I don't think Hotel New York has so many different artworks in the standard rooms.
Yeah, it's great that you mentioned the Hotel New York, because I was just about to say they really took that concept of having different art in different rooms. So every time you stay there, you might get to see new art, which is really fun. And elevated it further for the Disneyland Hotel, which makes sense since it's got another star. And like you mentioned, I think there's nothing wrong with putting in a friendly request when you're checking in, like, hey, we this room last time, maybe we can get another room this time. You know, you can keep it kind of open-ended, or if your kid is like a huge fan, then say, we'll get the frozen room.
So that's our tip. If you're planning to stay there, think about this and maybe make your request.
It's definitely not a guarantee, but why not?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe you're lucky.
Yeah. So I'm sticking to the Royal Banquet Buffet restaurant and taking a look at all of the neat royal portraits. There is a particularly humorous portrait that really tops the others for me, and that is the equestrian portrait of Abu. So that's the monkey from Aladdin. This is such a deep dive, but I love that an Imagineer thought to include it. Looking back at the 1992 animated film, Aladdin asks Genie to turn him into a prince. Besides conjuring up some fabulous clothes, Genie also brainstorms how Abu can be included in this princely transformation. So he turns him into a camel and an elephant, along with various other animals, and Genie also tries turning Abu into a horse. So an equestrian makeover, so to say. It's a kind of blink and you miss it type moment. However, Abu's equestrian form has been included in the Disneyland Hotel in the form of a fabulous large format painting next to some other wonderful steeds that we know from various Disney films. So he is the pink horse with the fabulous hair that looks really confused to be there. So it's a really fun, cute moment that they included there. Yeah.
Yeah, and I read somewhere that the Imagineers went back to the original Disney archives for original artwork and
yeah, nice.
Prints get these scenes from. So really nice.
Yeah, they added a lot of dimensionality to the portraits. By the way, all the portraits look really fantastic. There's so much depth. So it's not just a two-dimensional painting like you would see the frame from a film, which of course is beautiful, but it works well in motion. But if you're having a static portrait, you have the ability to add a lot of light and shadow, which they definitely did. Everything looks very three-dimensional, but still very on model. So especially the portrait of Abu here, really, really fun. So Niels, what's your last surprise?
An upsell for Disney by these so-called castle club rooms. Or if you are willing to spend even more, they also have some really, really nice suites. That's nothing new for the more luxury hotels, but here at the Disneyland Hotel, these guests have also access to the so-called castle club lounge that offers a privatized breakfast with Disney princesses. So how cool is that? It's like the Auberge de Cendrillon, but right in front of you when you walk out of your bed.
Yeah, that's really nice. Yeah. Especially since Auberge gets such high wait times as well. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's officially always a disclaimer that characters might not be there. So there's no guarantee. But usually multiple princesses pass by while guests enjoy their royal breakfast treats. So yeah, really, really nice touch that is only available when you stay at this hotel.
Yeah, totally. I mean, Florian and I, we got to experience the OG Castle Club experience. You can check out our episode on that. We had a full show on it, which is really fun. So back in the day, there were fur characters walking around. So you had characters like Mickey, Minnie, Chip and Dale. So we didn't have the princesses back then, but it's a really nice...
The classic ones.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that they upgraded to face characters that can have a conversation with you. And it makes a lot of sense in this space because I noticed with a lot of the fur characters, since they can't talk to you, but they had a lot of time to spend with you, so they were doing a lot of little dances and playing with each other, like Chip and Dale especially were like, you know, like having little fun games or sitting down on an empty table next to yours and kind of like miming along. And you can tell the characters were really trying to engage with you and interact with you. And of course, we had a really great time with them. Like, I've never spent so much time with any character ever like I did in the Castle Club lounge. But it was also like limiting in a way because they couldn't have a conversation with you and maybe engage with fun jokes or make any sort of sound. So I think it's a good choice to have the face characters in there. That's really, really great. Totally.
Yeah, but I can also imagine that it's more difficult when someone's sick or that's probably why they have the disclaimer. Yeah, face characters are more difficult.
Yeah, it also works well with their new theming since they're going this whole royal route to have the princesses there. Yeah, makes sense. Totally. Yeah. They're also hanging out at La Table de Lumière, so you can see them there at the evenings, even with their princess princess. So that's also really, really cute. And I was watching a YouTube video of somebody dining there in the evenings and having a meet and greet with a princess and the prince. Jesus. And but I was trying to remember the princess'
Jesus,
name.
Which one is that? Sorry.
Yeah, no. I'd have to read up on that before dining there someday, maybe.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, if you can actually name them.
Yeah, because I'm sure a lot of people are just like, oh, Cinderella, and oh, what's his face?
So it's like, hi, Prince.
I think I only know, like, Ariel, you've got Prince Eric, and then I don't even know what the beast is called besides the beast, so I don't know.
Maybe also Eric.
they're just all Prince Eric.
you have Prince Philip, right? That's I guess from Sleeping Beauty.
Prince Philip. Okay, see, I wouldn't have remembered that. Yeah, that's good that you mentioned that. Yeah.
And we know Naveen from Tiana.
Does Snow White's prince even have a name, or is he just called Prince Charming?
I think it's just charming. Yeah.
It's just a character description.
For me, it's charming.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah.
Hello, charming. Yeah.
Mr. Charming.
How are you today?
Yeah. So,
what's your last one?
Yeah, my last pick is Casimir switching from day to night costumes. Well, to be fair, add a bow tie, but the costumes look drop dead gorgeous and are partially constructed of Jacquard fabric. So there's a bit of fun history here that I didn't know about until researching it a little bit. The fabric is made by the so-called Jacquard machine, which is a device that simplifies the process of manufacturing fabrics which have complex patterns like brocade, damask, and matelasse. I hope I'm saying that right.
I cannot tell.
The machine was patented by Joseph Marie Jacquard in 1804, and both the Jacquard process and the resulting machine produced fabric are named after their inventor. So it's a really nice fun homage to the inventor. And the mechanism is widely considered one of the most important weaving innovations, as it enabled the mass production of complex patterns at lower costs.
So it doesn't look cheap.
So really fun.
But it was cheaper to produce.
Faster, and everything. I think it's really interesting that they mentioned that in the press release, the Jacquard fabric especially. So
they want to emphasize that this is the real stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Nice. Yeah, awesome. But I totally agree that it's nice that they have day and night costumes, although it's just a small difference. But it's that extra touch of magic that they're adding.
Yeah, I really appreciate that as well. So Niels, where can people find you?
People can find me mainly on Instagram. I'm Niels Capturing Parks, and for all my other activities, please visit capturingdisneyparks.com.
Awesome. Be sure to follow Ermachic on Twitter, Instagram, and our website, ermachic.net, for all the latest Disneyland Paris news and podcast updates. Please consider supporting the show on patreon.com/ermachic. You get access to a completely new exclusive episode every single month, and it really helps out a lot and keeps the show running. So before we go, we did want to thank some of our patrons, and you can also get in a shout out at the Sequoia tier. So thank you so much to Simon, Andy, JB, Jerry, Scott, and Tulips.
Thanks, guys.
Well, stay safe, everybody, and have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye.
Next up are the Tiki Tropic restrooms. I don't know why they're called on the app, but I'm going to call them the Big Thunder Mountain toilets. I have no idea where Tiki Tropics comes from.
There are no tropics at all in the Wild West, right?
No, this is Frontierland. What are we doing? Super weird. Well, they could call them the Yeehaw restrooms. Like, anything would be better than Tiki Tropics. These are always super busy, so that is something to be aware of. That being said, they are also quite large, so one can usually find a free bowl if one's needed. Interior design wise, they're pretty basic. I would love some Western theming in there. Like, give me cowboy, wagon, boots, all the fun details that Disney does so well would be amazing in there. The exterior is kept in this Southwest Pueblo style, so it's really charming and matches the visual language of Fuente del Oro, now known as Casa de Coco. I do frequent these quite often when in Disneyland Park. They're just so convenient and a must visit before getting in line for Big Thunder Mountain. So I'm going to give these also a 6 out of 10 if I'm being generous. It's maybe more of a 5, but they are conveniently located. So
that was just a short preview of the full-length Patreon exclusive show. You can get instant access to this episode, as well as Disneyland Paris Hacks 2.0, Disneyland Paris on a Budget, and the Discoveryland Deep Dive, along with all of our other fabulous Patreon exclusive episodes, now on patreon.com/ermagique. See you there.